ready now.
Hello, welcome to Denim and Pearls. My name is Michelle Moross.
It's time to get serious. My name is Brian Swanson.
We are Denim and Pearls. We're business casual.
With pearls of wisdom.
From the porch.
Well, it's the basement now. But we're still from the porch.
Yeah, because, you know, it's free talk on the porch.
Yeah, exactly.
So our topic today is...
Obsession.
You're my obsession.
Would you want me to be with you? Whatever. Something like that.
Something anyway, like that.
I don't remember the exact words.
It's a good 80s song.
It is a good 80s song. I originally classified it as 90s, and then I got to looking at the video and went, yeah, this is 80s.
The way the music starts, it's definitely an 80s song.
Yes, yes, yes. I can't even credit the group because it was like a one-hit wonder, and I don't remember the Animotion.
Animotion. But yeah, obsession. What are you obsessed about? What started this whole conversation is because someone is a little into a video game.
Well, it's Pokemon Go. It's supposed to be something that you walk around and you play and everything else like that. I know it sounds crazy, but it's something I started when they very, very first started the game. Mm-hmm. So when it started the game, I own Galaxy Fest and I own the comic book store. And so I had to be up on the latest and greatest of, you know, whatever.
So it was research.
It was originally research. But that was in 2016. I took a 3-year hiatus of the game. And I've been playing it again ever since. But obsession is, that's what started the conversation. But obsession, is it a good thing or is it a bad thing? Is where my question falls. Is my light on?
Lights on.
Yay, lights on. We didn't screw up too bad.
Well, the reason I wanted to bring it up because think about what you do on routine. So like with me, I always play my Duolingo Spanish. I always do it. I will actually run to my hotel room if I'm traveling to make sure I get it done by midnight.
But some people would say that's cool because you're learning something.
I am, but...
But Pokemon, you don't learn anything.
You know where all the stops are is what happens. No, but I was wondering about obsession because I was watching you do that and I thought, how much more improved would our business be? How much would our lives be if we became obsessed with something that actually benefited our business or our relationships?
Well, I think that's true across the board because if you look at most entrepreneurs, we've got our hands in
everything.
And they always say you can only focus on one thing at a time. Well, I think that's only partially true because you can work on one thing and work on another thing when you're not working on the first thing. So I think that obsession, though, that's really what puts us as a single focused individual and on a singularly focused topic. So if you can do that, your ideas of success can be higher or more grandeur.
So what are you obsessed about and what should you be obsessed about? And be careful with the obsession because as we kind of hinted, obsession can be good.
Right.
Or it can be very bad. So,
but would you consider obsession a habit?
I think it could start as a habit and become an obsession. And so my thought is in business, my singing was something I just liked to do. It was kind of fun, just to fun do it. And now I'm kind of obsessed with it because now I'm always singing and I'm always doing it.
And so it's become a focus.
It's become my focus. So now it has become an obsession because now I found another way. So my thought process with all of you is what in your business are you obsessed with? And is it in the direction that's moving your company the way you want it? Or is it distracting you from where you should be going?
I think those are all pertinent questions. However, they're all rhetorical questions that only
you
can answer because we can't answer them for you. We don't know what your obsessions are. Obsession to me is a strong word. It's another one of those strong words that.
Like failure. There is failure. Yeah. Obsession. Yeah. There is obsessions, but.
Right. You can classify it as you will. However, I think there's also habits. I also think there's things that you're focused on because an obsession to me, a lot of times is something that happens for a long period of time. Okay. But I'm also thinking an obsession can be very short period of time in order to meet a particular goal.
And that's actually how I work. And I was thinking about you with Comic-Con was when you have an event coming up, you become very obsessed with the event to make it happen. And you have to be, or it doesn't happen.
No, that's called procrastination, but that's a whole other, that's a whole nother video.
We'll do that in the next video. But no, really, if you had something that you had to get done and had to get it out and produced, you can obsess on it to get it done and still have other things running in your mind of other things the other 15 billion things entrepreneurs like to be doing. You have other tasks, computer terms, other tabs open, but you've got the one screen on and you're obsessed with that one thing as you still have the tabs open of, okay, what's next? What do I have to do next? And so as an entrepreneur, you need to learn which tabs are the most important tabs to be working on that particular day.
I always close the damn program and it comes up empty. Anyway, it comes up with a new screen. Everything else is gone. But let's put a real life thing. What time of the year are we in? This is what season? Tax season.
Oh.
So we become obsessed, like, typically a few days before tax day to get things done. Some of us do extensions, but that's beside the point. Okay. We come to a point, even if we do file extension, we still wait to the end of the extension. And then we're obsessed for 3 days trying to put all this stuff together. Unless, of course, we've got our own accountants, which we should have anyway, and let them put that all, that's all their job. But we become obsessed for 3 days until the task at hand is completed. And then also, if you owe money, so like this year we owed money and it was a good chunk of change. So
procrastination comes into play.
Well, procrastination comes into a play, but also I'm thinking of the fact that the obsession is, where do I find the money to make the payment? And we figure out ways to put that all together. So it could be something of importance that came up to go to a whole nother level of tragicness here. If you've got to pay for a funeral, for instance, you don't want to put that on your credit card, but you still want to pay for it. So you come up and you become obsessed with the money on how you're going to pay for it, so you don't have to worry about it. So it's done and it's over with. But that could be anything. I mean, you get a flat tire and now you need a new tire. And if you don't have the money readily available, you try and figure out ways, how can I do that? Maybe clean out my garage and have a garage sale.
You know? I had a mentor, my mentor, Joan Dixon, from when I was a teenager. She said, from every paycheck, take $20 and put it into an account you can't touch. And so I've always done it for my entire 55 years of my life now. But, you know, since I've met her when I was like 13.
Right.
And so I've always done it. So I've got this little pocket of money that when bad things happen, instead of me obsessing about how
she's
to pay
a rich
it,
girl.
I just pull from that thing. It used to be a Christmas account. I don't know if they still do those, but it started as a Christmas account. And put money away at an account that was open around whatever for Christmas. And I would just put money in. At Christmas time, you could pull without any fees or anything like that.
Right.
And I still do that, but now I have a separate savings account in a bank, well, actually at a credit union, I cannot touch. I don't have a card for it. I don't have anything. So if I ever need that money,
well, you can probably get to it in an emergency.
So I can call them and say, can you send a cashier's check or can you move it to Venmo so I can get to it? But I have to make effort. So my thing is, I don't want a card on it because I don't want to do, boy, those shoes look really good.
You know? That's not what I would call it, an emergency.
Which is why I keep it in a place that I cannot touch it easily. They said, well, we sent you a card and I chopped it up.
Nice.
Yes, because I know I get fixated on things and I'm going to want it and I want it now.
Oh, that was the other thing we were talking about.
What?
Compulsion.
Yes.
Compulsion.
I want it now.
Right. And that goes outside of obsession, I think, though.
Oh, yeah.
Compulsivity and addiction. That's addictive. Addictive personality. Yeah. Personalities. In other words, I love Cripple Creek. In other words, the gambling town. Okay.
In Colorado.
I live an hour and a half away from it. Or we live an hour and a half away from it. If it was right down the street,
I'd be having to pull you out of there.
You would have to pull me out of there. You would have to find me, because I'm the kind of guy that, you know, I have a little bit of common sense. So I take $100 with me. Yeah, exactly. I take $100 with me. And when it's gone, it's gone. but I'm also still feeling around in my pockets to see if there's any money that I missed. Did I forget to put a little slip back in my pocket that I forgot about? So I've got that a little bit of an addictive personality.
So note to self, do not let him go in Vegas.
Well, I love Vegas, you know, but I take what's reasonable, but there's that, what was the word we were looking at? Compulsion? Was that the word we were looking at?
Originally using compulsion.
Right. Where, you know, you do something, but it kind of goes against your morals, but you do it anyway. It's kind of like overeating.
Overeating. Yes.
Yeah.
I should not eat that entire thing of ice cream, but you know what? I don't want to get back up and put it in the freezer.
So exactly. Or it'll melt and make a mess on my table. Yes. So I'm going to just eat it.
I'm just going to keep eating it. Like,
so gambling is the same way with me. I mean, I understand it can be a compulsion because I want to go throw whatever I can at it because I know I'm going to win.
Of course.
I know I'm going to win. But if I was so confident I was going to win, why didn't I win the first $100? So logic kind of kicks into play there. That way with anything, though. We usually addictive personalities we put towards alcohol, drugs, those kind of things. But there's people who are gamers that are addicted to gaming. I mean, that's why I don't do gaming because aside from my Pokemon, okay, I used to, and I did it for 3 months solid where I would come home from work every day, sit down, play the game, eat dinner, go back to the game, go to bed, go to work, come home, and sit down and be completely addicted to that game. I did that for 3 months straight until life happened. Don't remember what that was, but I've never been back to it since because I know that if I sit down to it, I will have an addiction or an obsession to work with.
And see, with me, my obsession was I wanted to get healthier. I wanted to get healthier. And basically, I was told, you've got to drop weight because you're becoming type 2 diabetic. Your blood was bad. You had high blood pressure. I'm like, okay, I've got to work out. And I was always working out, but I had to be more systematic about working out. And what I found was I got to the gym in the morning. And I would do my aerobics stuff. I'd walk or run or whatever. And then I would I don't think I worked out enough. And so in between the day, somewhere around lunchtime, I would go back to the gym. And then my husband would come home from work. And then I'd go back to the gym. At lunchtime, I would go find a karate school and I would go work out with them at lunchtime.
You sound like a relative of mine.
So basically what I know. And what I ended up doing was when I calculated, I was working out 6 hours of an 8-hour day. And it was like, how am I even doing that? But it became from my obsession became an obsession, an addiction. I had to go to the gym. And if I didn't go to the gym, I felt like I was failing. So there's this fine line of I want to be healthy to I'm working out so much, I'm hurting myself. I mean, I don't know if you can see it, but I have a scar on my shoulder right there. I worked out so much that I ripped my rotator cuff and my bicep out of my arm. Sometimes when you do something too far, you hurt yourself. That's how I found out I had an obsession to the gym. So now I only go in the morning and I time myself. I cap it at 2 hours because I get lost and I don't.
There's people out there that do that because they're obsessed. One, they're obsessed with their health. Okay. Two, they're working for like the Ironman competition or the American Ninja competition.
That's directive. Yeah.
That to me is an obsession, but that's because they have a direction and a goal and yada, yada, yada. But then there's like the relative I was just referring to a second ago. She lives in the gym, but I found out she doesn't live in the gym just because of her health. She lives in the gym because that's where her friends are. That's where her friendships are. She's made friends with these people over the years. And if she doesn't have them, it's just like anybody else. We go through friendship withdrawals.
And you only see them at the gym. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you see them outside of the gym. I know you,
I don't
I?
Recognize your normal clothes.
Yeah, exactly. Outside of gym clothes. You know, I mean, to me, it looks like an obsession, but to her, it's a way of life.
It became a way of life.
Yeah.
So that is where I was thinking about with obsession and work. What are you obsessed about with your work and your relationships that can make it and help your business or your relationships grow? You can be obsessed in a good way. Just watch it so you don't teeter over and start whipping right. things out.
Well, that's where we get all he does is work.
I'm so obsessed with them. And so I'm always there and I'm always talking to them. And I'm always watching their social media profile. And I'm always writing to make sure they're okay. And you're like, wait a minute, that's an obsession.
Well, it's where we have that conversation too about faith, family, and what's the other one? Faith, family, and work. Which order do you put them in? Are you obsessed with your work that it's hurting your faith in your family? You know, everybody says it should be faith, family, friend, or faith, family, work, but
a lot of people live the opposite.
We live the opposite way, but it also depends on where we want to have our focus, because a lot of people overwork because they don't want to deal with family.
Or they overwork because they want to provide for their family.
Exactly.
And then what happens?
It goes to the opposite side of the scale.
But what you end up finding out is a lot of times you're so obsessed with your work, you're taking care of everything at work, that you've dropped your family. And the only time faith comes in is during the holidays, when people say it's Christmas time, people are starving. You see a man with a bell, or you know, Santa Claus with a bell in front of the store. And so keep in mind that your obsessions, you may not even be aware of what you're doing. And so that's why it's important to kind of take an assessment. I'm going to do it.
No.
Do a SWOT in your life. Strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats in your life, or your family, your relationships, your business, all of that. Because then you'll start seeing a commonality. Am I over-focused, aka obsessed?
I was going to use the word overzealous, but go ahead.
Or overzealous about something in particular that is holding you back from whatever you want. That's about it.
That pretty well sums it all up.
I think it does.
It does, but there's always okay. We're back to the yeah buts today.
I'm going to pull up the song we wrote.
So there's always the exception to the rule. Sometimes we may not look at it as an exception. Oh, that's what I was thinking. That's a lot of times where that release of energy or that release of stress, so whether you go running or whether you do yoga or whatever, gives you a perspective on your life and what's going on in it. So a lot of times, if you just step back, I'll give you one example. Take a 13-hour road trip by yourself. That's a lot of time in your head by yourself. Oh, my God, I hate it.
I love it.
It drives me batty. I feel more drained from the thought process of 13 hours in my head than I did from the car ride.
Wow.
Oh yeah, me and 13 hours in my head is not a good thing.
Oh, see, and I think being in your head is like the best thing in the world, because you can solve so many issues.
Well, yeah, but there's a lot of issues too that, I mean, and I'm sure somebody out there can relate with me on this. You try to solve or make more out of a situation than it really is.
Mountain out of a molehill. Yeah, that's true. Obsession does tend to create mountains out of molehills. And if you've never heard that, if you've never heard that expression, a molehill is very small. But once you obsess on it and you think about it and you think and think and think and think, you make it into a much larger problem than it is. I actually have moles in my yard, and give a mouse a cookie. Mm-hmm. So it's like, oh, I have moles in the yard. They're digging up holes everywhere. Okay. What do? Well, you get something to make them go away. So I put like hot pepper or something, because I didn't want to hurt them. I just wanted them to leave. And then the hot pepper did nothing. And so I ended up getting these noisemakers to put into the yard, to vibrate through the yard, to keep them from digging in the yard. Well, that kind of worked. But then it was solar powered, and then we didn't have a lot of sun, so they did not work. I mean, it was like, so I was so obsessed with getting rid of these moles. And by time it took me to get rid of them, there were so many holes in my yard that you couldn't walk in my yard without falling in a hole.
I'm still trying to see how you're going to relate this back. This is going to be interesting.
I don't know. But the obsession was, I was trying to do it on my own. And really what it ended up being is this obsession that I could not find the answer. It was simple, looking at my husband and doing, what am I doing wrong? We need to get rid of the moles. He goes, oh, well, we'll just get four of these sensors, put those out farther in the yard so the sun is never blocked. And we'll also put some, you know, food traps around that will make them not want to go there. He did them both. I did one, We did them both, and it stopped them.
So now that you served the world's extreme
Extermination?
Extermination problems.
When you're obsessed, you can't find a way out of it. Sometimes it just helps to talk to someone else about it.
Oh, if that's the key out of it, I can take that away.
Yeah.
That's a good takeaway, yes.
Especially when you're obsessed because you can't seem to finish. You can't seem to get that end. What the heck? I can't get...
Well, we always talk about being in the box and being out of the box. A lot of times we put ourselves in a box that we can't get out of, but we don't know we're in the box until somebody else tells us we're in the box.
Oh, and like the other thing, when you go back to the food thing, the overindulgence of food. I used to eat until I found the flavor that I wanted. Okay. I would have this, then I'd have that. And I wasn't just taking a bite of everything. I was eating it.
Oh, so you were doing a wine tasting and drinking the whole bottle?
Yes. So I would be obsessed with, I feel like I want something salty. So I'd get a bag of chips and I'd have this, and I'd have that. And what all I needed was, nope, take one bite. Nope, that's not it. Take that. Nope, that's not it. How many of you men out there who are married or have a significant other who, when you say, let's go out to dinner, what do you want? And they do, I don't know, anything you want.
I think every relationship does.
Yes.
There's very few that don't. And for those of you who don't,
you are so lucky.
Well, I think it also has the opposite effect because then we become, then we have a, it can be anyway, a one dominates the other.
Yeah.
In some certain ways. We're going to the Texas Roadhouse.
Because that's today. All I want to eat.
Because that's what I want to eat. I don't care what you want. So we could go that they always say for everything on earth, there's a good and there's an evil. There's always an action and a reaction. There's mm-hmm. always an opposite to everything that's out there. Mm-hmm. It's crazy because everything that we talk about, whether it's a deception, it can be good, it can be bad.
Mm-hmm. And that's why I don't.
If it's a habit, it can be good, it can be bad.
It's not always good or bad, depending on the perception and where you are in the time in your life.
Well, I would agree, and whether it's harmful or not, too, also.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but.
I have a song. So Brian is notorious for telling me, yeah, but.
But.
Which probably why you all like the Denman Pearls show, because we are always, I say something profound, and he says, yeah, but.
I'm more profound. That's yes. The end of that statement.
Okay. Well, anyways, the joke with the yeah, but. Is my husband was watching the show where Brian kept saying, yeah, but, and we
I got into a real habit of it that day for some reason.
He did. And so what we did is we, my husband put it into the AI, GI chat, whatever the algorithm that would, what is it called?
It's AI something.
It's an AI GT something. Well, he put, yeah, but a song, yeah, but in the form of blah, blah, blah. And it made an entire song about yeah, but.
And I still haven't heard it.
Oh, you're going to.
Oh.
I'm waiting to
yeah, find. Yeah, but maybe I don't want to.
I'm waiting to find music somewhere. And just, I'm going to sing those lyrics to the music of whatever song is. So maybe tonight I'll put it on karaoke and let the music play and then sing the words off of
let
this.
Let the music play all day.
No, it's let the music play. We can't get away.
You had to get that in there, didn't you?
Obsession. Could be good, could be bad. Just remember, whatever you're obsessed about, if you cannot find the answer to whatever you're obsessed on, turn to someone that you care about or cares about you and say, help, because I am lost in this. Just like with me and my bags of potato chips and candy bars while I'm looking for something salty and sweet. And all it really was a scoop of vanilla ice cream with chocolate chips and some.
It sounds like the being pregnant.
Seeds.
I need pickles and onions.
I have the weirdest cravings. So.
I think it's a girl thing.
It's a girl thing. So what I found is usually when I'm craving
something. I hate when I'm right and you agree with me.
When I'm craving something and I don't know what it is, it tends to be, and no joke, a scoop of vanilla ice cream, dark chocolate chip mini chips, and sunflower seeds. Don't ask me why, but it always fixes.
I just picked up on that. The sunflower seeds?
I don't know why. My husband's like, sunflower seeds and ice cream? It's salty and sweet.
Okay, for those of you who want to try something salty and sweet, sunflower seeds and vanilla ice cream.
I don't know why.
That's weird.
It is weird. I'm weird.
All right, so you get a 30-second commercial.
Of a 30-second? Oh, yes. I am having my unapologetic... Unapologetic Speaker Camp here in Colorado Springs, August 9th through 11th. And if you are interested in going to that to up your speaking game or your stage presence, come out to that Unapologetic Speaker Camp. It is 9 through 11. You can go to my website, michellemoras.com.
August 9 through 11.
August 9 through 11. If you want to be on Mental Shift, you have to go through the boot camp because I have to make sure you know what you're talking about before you get on my in-person, live on stage kind of interview process. That will be on the 12th of August. So
you know what we should do?
What?
If they want to book us as speakers and keynote speakers, denim and pearls is always available.
Yeah.
Just except for your schedule.
I can fly to it.
So anyway,
if you're interested in having either one of us or both of us come and speak at your event or,
you know, we've never said that here.
Oh, really?
We've never said that. Oh. And how many, we've done over 100 and some odd episodes and we've never said that we are keynote speakers.
Oh,
specifically.
Hi, my name is Michelle and this is Brian Swanson. We're Denim and Pearls and we are keynote speakers and we do a great halftime show. So if you need us for intermission at one of your
So contact the NFL, let them know they'll be there for Super Bowl.
I break out in song too. But if you want to up your game as a speaker, definitely check out the Unapologetic Speaker Camp on michellemoras.com. It'll pop up and then it'll bring you to a detail page where you can read more about what's happening at that camp. So until then, my name's Michelle.
And I'm Brian. Come back and see us next week
on Denim and Pearls. Take care, everybody.
Peace out.